Yes, I think part. Here's a kind of test that we will start with an activity of the pool. Then I have to say, morning, one of the experiments that three. The other one that I will alphabetically. Like old, we have a whole big dog, then two whole big dogs, and a whole. So each dog is best to have half an hour session at the end of the break.
Stand here, or there you can speak from there. Okay.
People online.
That only connects to the phone. If there's the phone, so if you're not dialed into the phone,
where we at?
Just can you hear me? Just make sure I'm fine.
Yeah, can everybody online hear David?
Yeah. So this is the one that, yeah.
Yeah, I think this is
great. Echo.
Okay.
So welcome everybody who's also out there online. I was looking around this room, and this floor is where a lot of the 12 GEV project people lived during the 12 GEV upgrade. And I think this room was one of the rooms that they constantly used to have their meetings. The picture right there of the upgrading CBAF from 6 to 12. And, you know, that upgrade opened up the ability to kind of explore additional science, kind of getting X a little bit lower, keeping it a little higher, moving out in Q squared. And the question that we kind of asked ourselves is, well, okay, there's long range plan gonna go on. There's the, you know, facility always needs a little bit of good upgrade as you go through. You have to have a scientific case going to actually do any major upgrades. One of the upgrades that could be done with this, take these parts, and you make them FFAs, FFA accelerators, and you can get that energy up to 22 GeV. You have to do a lot of other things to make sure that you can actually use the facility to do that. Get the beams into the halls. But it looks like one could technically go down that. And the question I sort of asked, and actually Bob articulated before I got here, was, well, okay, what's the science case for doing that? And continuing down that route of what's the science case for doing that, what can we get out of the various science programs that we already have at the lab if we were to go up? So that's why you're here. Kind of explore that territory, both experimentally and also, you know, from a theory point of view, what are the important questions that one could ask if opened up the aperture a little bit more scientific. If I had my my slide deck with I would show a picture of basically X versus both luminosity. One part of the picture, and also in one of the structure functions in another part of the picture. And you could see that there's the CBAF facility has an extreme advantage when it comes to intensity, luminosity. And so if you look at that luminosity plot and where it is in X that you're exploring, you're kind of exploring the fun region, where all the quarks and fork structure functions are rising and lowering all at the same time. There's a lot of action there. The gluons haven't quite taken off yet. Gluons are going to overwhelm everything eventually. And that's at lower X where EIC is playing a major role. And so there's a complementarity of these two capabilities, I think, as well, that we ought to remember and consider. So with that, you know, that's where we are. And what we're looking for out of this group is basically some inputs, guidance on what are the important questions to go forward from the lab into a long range, be able to say, this is what we want to do. And I think another piece of this is opening up to Q squared, where it's not quite open, 12G. Can't really probe a whole lot where it's based. So that's another area that's flashed through my mind. Sorry about that. So that's it. Welcome. Thank you for coming. I hope you have a productive time. I'll stick around for, I guess, until about 11 here. So let's go.
Thank you, David.
I base a presentation on work and a little bit of projections. And also that I just arrived at the long flight of one some incidents, so better to ask me questions twice.
Can I stay on this side.
So I mean the talk is mostly to introduce discussions rather than showing some results that of course will require a bit more work. I just want to be very honest with that. So motivations. So we have already a lot of measurements regarding GPP's 6G programs. So this result and also some results that are coming out for 12 GP. So we are mostly constrained in balanced regions. And actually, mostly DVCS. I say mostly because there have been some Bayesian measurements that I think some other people discussed today. But mostly DVCS has been measured and used to try GPs. So now that's why I decided to focus the talk on other processes. And I also think that Carlos talked about DVCS. So I'm not talking about DVCS, and I'm going to focus on quantum-like process and vector mesons, because also Gers is going to discuss for pseudo-scalar mesons. So I try to respond to these two questions. How solid will be a right setup contribute to a 22 GB program, new measurement of GPDs, and what new insights can we get from 22G? So, okay, as everybody knows, complementary of solid versus the other setup. As everybody knows, so solid has a quite large acceptance, so not as large as Rolby, but much larger than what is achieved with can be achieved with NPS or OC experiments. So which is an advantage to probe a bit larger space region. And it has it can work with a quite high intensity. So at least based on the 12GV simulation I did, we have a factor of 10 compared to all B higher if you look at specific thematic points. So we can have some precision measurements for some of the channels. So it can, if we start from some precision measurements that are done at specific kinematic control A and C, we are not gaining thermodynamic solid, but in that case, it can be more a second measurement after like very precise measurement that is done at specific kinematic bin, we can look at some channel for instance. And that's what I'm pushing here. So yeah, I mean, based on quick simulation, I have no idea for 20GV, but I estimate about factor of 10 part what can be done in a solid versus whole. So what is new now that can be done a little bit with a 12GV and mostly with 22GV, we can really look at evolution where, so, and I have a projection of space that we can achieve for different reactions. And actually, if we want to have not only look at the evolution, but also get something out of that technology, for instance, we also need precision. And that's why I think for this kind of measurement, the right place. So now, so that's actually mostly the advantage of OLB. That the same set of data can be used for the different channels. Solid can also do it to some extent. But yeah, mostly I would like to emphasize the fact that evolution in square, the advantage of Solid, part of their setup. And looking at different measurements, different reactions. And that's why I decided to use vector mesons, because we can measure multiple vector mesons. Rather than making evolution in square, we can square and make kind of evolution in mass for topographic. So I also base all of what I say on this setup, this JPSI setup that was proposed for the GPU for Solid. And consideration that we have LH2 and IM3 target, but I actually didn't accept that projection I am showing, so it's just for the discussion. And so this is a slide that Alexandre Capson presented a few years ago for the, it was letter of intent, but a proposed setup for WCS with an additional neural detector, because actually some of the channel I'm showing require also detection. So that would be with this kind of setup. So now I decided to show kinematic regions. So something I noticed in France is that people from Compass or CERN in general are always showing the log scale figure of X U square, while people from JLab always show linear picture. And I like this picture, so it is like the picture used by our colleague from Compass. And that's showing a little bit where we're gonna stand with 20GV. So their luminosity limit is actually very high. So I see it stand more around 3-4 GV square for Compass. And basically we're gonna compare the same range that Hermes was covering, but much higher. Something about the peer here. I think that was just a diagram for content lag process. So yeah, I was also emphasizing the advantage of Solid versus other experiment at JLab. So we can measure DCS, DCS, WCS, or mesons, or also channel with multiple mesons that's a bit different also. So the limits will be, if we are looking at free evolution, acceptance will be smaller, so there is limitation, and lower resolution, because we cannot go to as high density as we want. So these are just some remarks. So what I want to focus here is that with what I notice doing a simulation comparison with 11 and 22 GE for reactions of CS, 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 and vector measures is that we are extending the work size and we reach a much higher square. And I have projections here. So this is a phase space accessible for WCS. On the left, it is 11 GB. On the right, it is 20. So you see that here we reach a limit at around 12, while here it's around 20. And while it's not very visible that we access lower X, the air scale. But yeah, and here I put this square versus and where there you also see that. So this is for JPSI. Here it is interesting because if we are studying JPSI at 11 GB, we are making a German air threshold where it's very unclear if you can have any GB interpretation. So I was actually looking a bit. If people did some work, theorists did some work, we can have GP interpretation air threshold, but I haven't found a clear answer nor any paper published. But now I think we can ask a question if at 22 GP, can I have a GP interpretation? So if I have to stand up high or. So this is the phase space that we have. And we should also actually expect for statistics compared to the German that have been published already for 11G. So this is for the light vector mesons. So I could just rho and phi, they are pretty similar. But I will skip, so it's just to see that we are extending space. And now I will go to the kind of interpretation that I'm most interested in. Is for topographic interpretation, how to extrapolate psi to zero, which we can actually cannot do with DVCS. So if we only have DVCS or TCS measurements, we are limited to the one point, x equal plus or minus psi, while we can have what I call mass evolution by comparing different vector mesons or having a Q prime square evolution are considering them at UCS. And yeah, so this is a slide I show kind of all the time. So that we have the diagonal with CS and DCS, and we can access this off diagonal part with the WCS. With light vector meson, we stay close to the diagonal. But if we are able now to have interpretation of JPSI in terms of GPDs, we may be able to switch a little bit like it with one line. Skip this one. So this is 11 GB projection for the WCS. What we can reach in terms of so psi prime is the propagator, so it's a function of Q and Q square, and psi the same as for DCS. So you see that these two diagonals correspond to DVCS where xi equals xi prime, TCS where xi equals minus xi prime. And here we have the region which I refer to as space lag where the initial photon virtuality is higher than the final one. And this one I can refer to as time lag because the final photon virtuality is higher than the initial one. And I'm excluding this zone because I have no idea what happened when square is close to square. and I am not sure if you can have any perturbative interpretation in this region. So this is a bit optimistic, meaning in case we have very high intensity. But I'm not showing projection for 22 GeV because I haven't worked enough on it, but we are basically extending this much more and hopefully are able to reach more points of diagonal with a reasonable statistic. This is just a different way of showing the same information. So this is a propagator here, the ratio of two prime square over two square, the space-like region. This is actually the opposite, time-like and space-like region. And this is a region that can exclude. So now, as I said, I didn't put any assumption on the intensity. We can have 22 GeV. Based on 11 GeV simulations that I did for solid, TCS is difficult, but it's absolutely feasible. And there is actually already an approved experiment run together with the JPSI. WDVCS is very difficult due to the statistical. So it is technically feasible, but it will rely on increasing a bit intensity. So projections are made at 38 I think an order of magnitude higher will make the WDVCS feasible. So I don't know if 22 GeV can have this kind of high intensity. Now this other process may be feasible as well. So here I put the advantage of improved energy, so we can this kind of study, and we can have actually a comparative measurement when we can measure from the mass evolution. So now, why work to study GeV program? So I mean, why beyond this very nice study that I'm showing here, I think this can be facilitated much more. So for all the content process, we can do at event enhanced phase space, so which hopefully will improve the topographic interpretation thanks to the WDVCS. It will also make more reliable the GPT diversity studies by having different kinematics. And I think it will enable to have a vector Meson program much more.
For 11 GeV, yes.
Yeah, it's luminosity. Yeah.
So,
well, it's
how 22 GeV?
That's, I don't know.
Your detector. Is that your, that's your detector? Don't have
enough. So simulation I made for solid, they are showing that it is feasible, but the statistic may be a little bit needed for like, interpretation out of it. But those are, I mean, there are simulations that we provided as later of in 2018, and some further simulation I did in 2019. That are kind of showing that it is feasible but difficult if you want to extract GPTs out of test statistics, assuming 10 to the 38 for the limit. So now some people think, I mean, maybe there are people more expert than me in what can be achieved in terms of density with solid. But I think if we gain one order of magnitude, WDVCS will be feasible.
The related question is, you also said that TCS.
So TCS.
You already have data.
Yeah, they've been. Hold B published. So I think I will let Hold B people discuss this. So Hold B published some data. I mean, there are some data as well in Hold B. In terms of statistics. And now Calvin approved experiment for SOBIT. I mean, this is JPSA experiment and Azure proposal DCS go together, and we have pretty reasonable statistics. That I mean, something that we did in 2015 or 16, but it was showing that we can extract GPDs from TCS with a precision comparable to the TCS.
Peru raised it.
Well, Jay was first, so go ahead. Jay, do you have a question?
I just wanted to say that assume 40 microamps maximum current limited by the beam dump, also limited by the RF system, but the beam dump's the ultimate limit.
Okay, great, thank
you. Yeah.
Or
I mean, that's what I assume, but as I said, these are very nice projections. So
then what do you think?
I don't remember.
Because you have
the in all of this, I cut at 1 GV².
Harut, you still have a question?
He's asking a question.
Actually, the problem is that
The microphone is here.
Yeah, I think this is enough. Yeah.
Maybe
you can
repeat.
Turn on the microphone. Okay, so the question was, On the acceptance in Q square, when we go to 22 GV, so you start to lose lower Q square with the same minimum electron angle. And how much that affects? Because the statistic wise, that will be.
Yes, I don't know. Actually, for this channel, I have. I don't know.
Does resolution become a problem also? Got the same mag, but everything is going to be a general parent.
Very lucky, but very lucky.
Part of quite.
Well, but actually, I have seven GPS that can play requires the benefit, so which actually doesn't exist. So it's even more difficult to an answer. I have two students. He took a different direction. But I took is very good. Maybe down the street.
No, I mean, it was only last 12. That was what 12 G. Right. It was already very challenging. I'll say that. And it was 22, not going to change that far. Okay. It will be higher.
I cannot go much higher than that. So I think that, you know, when you look at both
both times, those higher Qs. Yeah, I think so. What's funny is most would have somehow. Well, it's because everything else, the like, predominant reason is possible.
Yeah, but it's very preliminary. Like the main limitation for whole A, B, or T is that if we can do it or not, at what?
That's the kind of question.
Yes, yes, yes. It's not a question of energy.
How we have it. Oh.
Yeah, the question that. So now I look for kinematic noise after the space space. But it's specific.
How will you like it? You understand everything, right? There is certain. So the question is, if you understand the level, so your meaning papers are separate somehow, that part clear?
It's not very clear. The first that I use for the code has no expert for the GPTs. So, this and it is for the so here it is projection, there is no Q square dependence.
In the data or in theory?
In the simulation. There is no data in
theory.
She said that she didn't implement it.
Right. Yeah. I mean, in the GPTs, they have to.
So then you don't know whether it's
free. No, we don't. But. Yeah, but for DBC.
Yeah.
The problem with the DCS or the WPS, right? There was statistics.
One is the tired. Now we're doing second. All right. The other is P squared bar. That or P. Yeah.
As Professor Pacheta has written in the chat, it's very hard for the people online to hear what's being said.
Okay. We don't have a good solution for this.
Yeah.
Put it in the middle. I guess that's the optimum, right? But how long?
Well, just put it in.
Maybe
next time we'll meet somebody.
No, that's
the center. So
it's best you can do
here. No, that one is not connected.
It's better here. I just
can't
answer the question.
Maybe
we
can connect that.
Yeah, we can dial in from the conference phone.
Yeah, I love that here in the. Are there any other comments before we move on? I mean, we have later half an hour.
No, I don't know.
We have other.
Yeah, later. We have.
Oh.
Okay, so I don't see right now FX line, so we'll go and which is slightly the agenda. We'll go with Andre first. Andre, you wanna share your screen and stop here?
Sure. Can you hear me?
Yeah.
Okay, so my presentation will mostly focus on the second part of the second question of the workshop, which identifies the flagship measurements with an upgraded beam that can extend and improve the 11 GeV measurements. So just a quick reminder that not only we have chiral even GPDs, right, which were studied extensively during the recent decades, and for a good reason, right, because most of the reactions are sensitive to them, and the DVCS is the cleanest probe to access chiral even GPDs. So many collaborations spend a lot of time and energy to study these four GPDs, but the chiral GPDs, chiral odd GPDs are significantly less known. So because the contribution is suppressed in the most of the reactions, and very few experimental constraints exist to parameterize these GPDs. But for the full picture, they are just as important as the chiral even GPDs. So the deeply virtual meson electroproduction processes give us the possibility to study the full picture of all chiral even and chiral odd GPDs, and allow us to study the aspects that are not accessible in the deeply virtual complex scattering, which is the cleanest probe to access GPDs. So the electroproduction of different meson reactions possesses a number of features that give it a special place in the extensive program of exclusive measurements. The variety of channels allows us to separate different exchanges like quarks versus gluon, flavor decompositions, contributions from different GPDs. For example, phi production provides sensitivity to gluonic GPDs, pseudoscalar meson channels provide access to H tilde, E tilde, while also the cross-section measurements show the unique sensitivity to the chiral GPDs. And combined with the vector meson production channel, we can access the full set of chiral even GPDs because we have access to the H and E. Additionally, the variety of channels allows us, gives us opportunity to perform the more model independent studies by comparing the channels to each other. We can verify theoretical model approaches by focusing on comparison of different channels, different experimental observables, and also by making measurements over the wide range of kinematic variables. So the GPDs are universal process independent characteristic of nucleon, which combines the aspects of the usual parton densities with those of elastic form factors, right? And the property of chiral even GPDs, like I said before, and the potential for uniting this concept has been widely discussed before. However, in case of the chiral GPDs, the application of this less studied distributions are not discussed as often, so I think it's important to remind that similarly to the chiral even GPDs, few relations and constraints from phenomenology exist for the chiral GPDs as well. For example, the moments of the ET bar can be interpreted as a proton transfer anomalous magnetic moment, and the HT becomes a transversity structure function in the forward limit, which is directly related to the tensor charge of the nucleon. And additionally, ET bar can be constrained by the lattice QCD results, right? And this GPD describes the density of the transversely polarized quarks in the unpolarized proton. So from the experimental point of view, when we look at this formula for the differential cross-section for exclusive meson production, this particular case, we involve only polarized electron beam and unpolarized target. So similarly to variety of meson channels the variety of contribution from separate structure functions, such as sigma zero, sigma LT, and sigma TT within each individual reaction can be separated by analyzing the azimuthal angular dependence of the cross-section. So additionally, sigma LT prime structure function can be singled out via the beam spin asymmetry. So these observables can be extracted over the wide range of the kinematic variables and provide us experimental constraints and test for theoretical approach to describe these exclusive processes. And you can clearly see the extensive efforts that were carried out in studying this exclusive meson electroproduction program during the class 6 operation and ongoing class 12 data analysis as well, right? Multiple papers were published with extraction of structured functions and spin asymmetries from pseudoscalar meson production and from vector meson production, such as phi, omega, rho, and phi zero, eta, and phi plus electroproduction for the pseudoscalar meson case. So in case of the vector meson, we have the additional advantage that we can access more experimental variables, right, via the analysis of their decay angular distribution. And we get a significantly large number of experimental observables. So from experimental point of view, that means that we should study the angular distribution of the decay particles from the vector mesons. And we can separate different contributions, different elements that are called spin density matrix elements that are shown on this slide. Some of them are highlighted with the red boxes, but you can see there are plenty of them. So the complete analysis of this decay angular distribution of, in this case, rho meson, just an example, can provide us access to all involved spin density matrix element. And they in turn provide information on single different helicity amplitudes that can be calculated within the GPD framework. So for a polarized beam and unpolarized target, we have 23 elements that are accessible, meaning that we basically have 23 model independent experimental observables that can be used to constrain theoretical calculation and improve their parameterization. Of course, the problem is that the extraction of all these elements involves elaborate and sophisticated three-dimensional angular analysis procedure. So which would strongly benefit from the much wider kinematic coverage and from higher statistics. So here, for example, we just focus on a few spin density matrix elements that can be expressed in the terms of the generalized pattern distribution. So this is after the simplification from this from the paper, Goloskogov and Kroll. So just to show the simple view how the experimental observables can provide access to the separate generalized pattern distributions. So you can see similarly to the structure functions, individual elements allow us to separate contributions from different GPDs. And this approach also lets us get the information on the LT ratio and without costly residue separation, right? And allows us basically access separately chiral-Watt and chiral-Weaver GPDs. So in addition to the extensive work that I mentioned on the previous slide, we have the ongoing efforts with class 12 and the meson production measurements from the first experiment data. So on this slide, I show the preliminary measurements of the beam spin asymmetries from the data of the first class 12 experiment for two pseudoscalar meson production channels, pi plus and pi zero. This is a beam spin asymmetry measurement. So it's basically a ratio of the sigma LT prime structure function to unpolarized sigma zero. And you can see the sensitivity of the polarized structure function to the contributing generalized pattern distributions. And although both convolution terms, they contribute to each individual channel due to the unique flavor composition of the pi plus and pi zero, different terms contribute more to one channel and the other term contributes more to this second channel. So for example, the first term here, that involves HT and E tilde seems to be more dominant in the pi plus channel. And for the pi zero, the second term, which is E T bar and H tilde seem to contribute the most. Also, so for the pi plus, the pi and pole term amplifies the GPD contribution, which is obvious from the plot on the right, where if you focus on the green line shows the calculation without pi and pole, And it's significantly smaller than the calculations that have the added Pine-Pol term. So clearly, the addition of the Pine-Pol term in the calculation of the mean spin asymmetry significantly boosts the amplitude and provides its sensitivity to the generalized partial distributions, especially to the HT in case of the pi plus. Additionally, the active work is ongoing to perform the pi zero cross-section measurements and extract the eta mean spin asymmetries and cross-section from the same data sets. There are also ongoing analysis of the vector meson electroproduction channels. So the preliminary data from the rho and omega channels are shown on the slide from the same first experiment data set. So we have a clear peaks reconstructed from the invariant masses of decay pion systems that shows that the reconstruction of exclusive vector meson production channels is possible with the collected data is class 12. So both channels are measured by detecting all final state particles, electron, proton, and decay pions. However, there are experimental topologies that are being investigated where we detect the exclusive channel with a missing proton. So the exclusivity is ensured via the missing mass constraint. So this topology has a higher background, but increased statistics, which is important for the multidimensional analysis, especially for the extraction of the multitude of the spin density matrix elements. Phi and J psi channels, the exclusive phi electroproduction has a special significance because it probes the nucleon gluon GPDs, representing the gluonic form factor, which reveals the transfer spatial distribution of gluons in the nucleon. So the gluonic form factor and the distribution of gluons can be extracted from the relative t-dependent from the sigma L structure function, and the sigma L can be calculated from the GPD model approaches. There is an ongoing work on the measurement of the phi cross-section measurements and J psi cross-section measurements from the class 12 data as well. You can see clear peak of the phi meson calculated using the invariant mass of two decay kaons. Again, the events here, the exclusive events were measured by detecting all final state particles that allows us to suppress the background. So here, the simple calculation of the rho electroproduction channel are shown side by side to basically highlight the comparison between the kinematic coverages before and after 20 plus GV upgrade. Obviously, we have the Q-square extended reach that will provide us with a significantly larger kinematic coverage, and the broad kinematic range is crucial for the development of the theoretical models that are necessary for the description of the nuclear structure. So the studies of exclusive meson production channel with the proposed 24 GeV beam configuration would be a very natural extension of the efforts, significant efforts that were initiated at 6 GeV beam with class and with the continued efforts with class 12 detector with the beam energies of 11 GeV. So similarly, the reconstructed invariant masses and missing masses are shown on this slide for the rho electroproduction channel with the current class 12 detector configuration at 10.6 GeV and 22 GeV beams, right? It's the same class 12 detector configuration as in first experiment. So the reconstruction of the exclusive meson production channel seems to be possible without major class 12 configuration changes. We still have a clear peaks. And similar analysis techniques and experimental topologies that are currently used with the class 12 data can be easily employed with the 24 GeV beam upgrade that basically allows us to extend the analysis very quickly and effectively and perform the structure functions and spin asymmetry measurements and spin density matrix element extractions in a higher kinematic region very naturally. As a conclusion, the extensive program of mapping the meson production channels in the wide kinematic range would be uniquely suited for the JLAB and the class 12 detector after the upgrade due to the high luminosity and the wide kinematic coverage of the whole B detector. combined with the upgraded beam, we can extend our 12 GV measurements of deeply virtual meson production channels into the higher Q square range. The variety of reaction will offer us the opportunity for selective access to different GPDs, as well as the access to the quark and gluon in GPDs. And the high luminosity and wide kinematic coverage provides the opportunity for multidimensional analysis and allows us the extraction of experimental observables using the analysis of the asymmetrical distribution. Okay, thank you.
Thank you, Andre.
It's very, very choppy.
I have a question on your for the deep virtual, right? We had
can people other than the conference room mute their mics? Larry, Albert, David, Richard.
Just for the deep virtual discussions, when we discussed 12GB upgrade, it went through. People agreed for Mellon productions, pi plus pi minus pi zero, and you have to go and phi. None of them probably will be truly in deep virtual situations. Will 20 plus GV really help to get us into there? Is there any quantitative answer we can get?
Yes, I have an appointment with Dr. Miller that I need to change.
Larry, your mic is
at 10744.
Your mic is
Cardman, C-A-R-D-M-A-N.
I think the moderator.
Sadie, can you mute Larry Cardman, please, and Albert Shayama?
Did you hear the question?
I think so. Most of it, at least. I can't really tell the answer clearly right now. Yeah, we definitely need to study a little bit more the simulation.
It can't be that week. It would have to be the following week.
Fine. Again, Sadie, can you please mute everyone except conference room?
But if that works, the 30th.
Sounds great. Let's do it.
And we're gonna just hold on for 1 minute. We're gonna do study.
Thank you very much. You too.
Wow, she will now, but we didn't.
I think Sadie needs to make Carlos co-host so he can mute people. It would be much more efficient.
Okay.
So yeah, to answer the question, yeah, we definitely need more studies. I can't really tell exactly right now.
Ray, can you go ahead? Can you try again, please?
Hello. Hello.
Hey, can you hear us?
Yeah, can you hear me?
Yes. So did you finish your answer?
Yeah. Like I said, we need more studies with the simulation to really give a proper answer to that.
Another question,
Kendall. Yeah, I have a question along the same direction. I thought Hermes had some measurement, and which happens at likely higher energy than 22.